I love your cut, by the way.
So hey, cool.
Yeah, for the podcast. That's awesome. Man.
So now, you know, everybody has a thing. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, you know, product placement. So we'll put that there a little bit. This is fun. I'm excited.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's episode of the Jellyfield Podcast. Today, I have a motivational speaker, father and husband and host of the On the Mic podcast, Ray White. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray, thank you so much for hanging out today and making the time to talk with me. I wanted to get straight into it and ask you kind of like the backstory into how you began developing and decided to create the On the Mic podcast, as well as feel free to kind of go into the leadership lens if that's part of the story.
Yeah. Oh, man. Isaac, I appreciate the fact that you asked me to be on your show, man. I'm super juiced about this. This is something that I've never been on this side of the chair. I mean, we've talked about this before we recorded, but yeah, never been on this side of the chair. So I'm excited to see how this goes. Motivational speaker. Nobody's ever said that out loud. And I'm slightly scared now because now that's a title. No, in an exciting way, because that's right. I have slightly ran from that title because I didn't want to just be titled as just a speaker, even though it's something I want to do. Like it's a passion of mine to speak, to be in front of people on stages and impact them with the words to motivate them to take action. Yet sometimes I'm a little nervous of titles, and that one more particularly was like, nah, that's a heavy one. You know, there's a few heavy titles out there, and that one's heavy. So I'm trying to figure out what that means, but by you saying it kind of makes it real. So I was like, all right, now I got to, you know, how do I live into that a little bit more? So, but yeah, the podcast itself has been fun. It's a journey that I started, 2 years ago. My wife bought a podcasting set, something on Amazon, you know, it was about $100 with a mic, mixing board, kind of everything you need to get started. Right. And she's tired of hearing me talking about it in the house. You know, she was like, man, I keep talking about wanting to do things in podcasting or just be active on social in that way. And my wife is a doer. She takes action. So next thing I know, I got this thing showing up on the doorstep and it's like, all right, now I got to move forward with it. But the podcast itself, On the Mic with Ray White, it's been a fun journey. It started as just an outlet for me to share some stories, finding ways to practice my public speaking, practice conveying a message and actually moving the listener or the audience, what have you, towards taking action in some way, taking some sort of step in the right direction towards their goals, towards what they want to accomplish. And hopefully by me sharing just aspects of my story or things that I have been really weighing heavy on my heart and my mind, using that as elements to help bridge the gap or bridge the story. So that's been my focus. I'm now moving towards interviewing people, and that's been fun too, because I think we all have a story to share. And if, you know, us everyday regular people has some pretty incredible, amazing stories. So how can we just bring those stories to light and celebrate those things and how great those things are, as well as inspire and encourage other people to share their own stories too, because you never know who's going to be impacted by what you share. And then the leadership lens, you mentioned that earlier. I reflect a lot. I journal a lot. I write quite a few things down, and I've been trying to figure out how to package same concept, right? Package the things that I've written into a blog of some type that's geared towards leadership. I am fascinated with leadership. I've been in part of leadership positions, formally and informally. And so figuring out ways to encourage young leaders or next generation leaders to, be their best and be effective in their leadership for themselves and their teams. So the leadership lens is kind of a play on using the blog and even some video elements to gear towards the next generation leader or team leader. And at this point, I'm trying to figure out how to fuse the two, you know, fuse the On the Mic with Ray White brand as well as leadership lens and fuse them together or keep them separate, you know, the whole branding marketing thing. I'm trying to figure all that out.
Okay. Right on. So, there's something interesting, and this is like just my guess and take on why hearing motivational speaker or speaker as a title being something that you've ran away from in the past, and that because it is so concrete, it's like, I don't know, I guess scary to live up to that, but you have done it because you shared in the past that you spoke, I think the last school you spoke at was at West Salem High School.
I spoke at West Salem and I just recently, before the coronavirus hit and we're on lockdown, I spoke at Parrish Middle School as well.
And how were both those experiences and how did you prepare and what'd you learn from it?
Man, those experiences were so fun. I was brought in to talk to students. The first one at West Salem was to talk to them about just my career journey and how I pretty much got from high school to my current role working at in healthcare IT. And so in that, my thought process in that was I didn't want to just necessarily tell what, you know, I went to college and then I got this degree, you know, so I wanted to actually be engaging because I've often heard other guest speakers come in and just in my own experience. And it's like, cool. I mean, I'm fascinated by how they, the logical things they got there, but I know that doesn't always capture people's attention or really grab hold to what they are wanting to see and hear and even connecting them to where they are today. So my thought process is, how do I make this engaging? So I just shared stories, you know, so here's a few stories that I witnessed during this time that you might not think are significant, but they are. And you know, so I shared how, you know, I failed a college class. I shared how, you know, I used to be an MC and DJ in high school and college, you know, and I shared my athletic journey. So I have, like, all these different elements are all play a factor in how I lead or how and how I perceive life today. And so that's what kind of the concept with the West Salem High School. I talked to their avid kids since it was a career and college more focused. So I talked about that, but then how their experiences are tied to that. And then with Parrish Middle School, it was about leadership. And that one was, I asked the teacher, I said, hey, Miss Apps. Wow. We had to edit that out. She will kill me for that. I asked her, what is your students, like, what are you talking about? What's going on in your school right now? And one of the things she mentioned often was taking initiative. And they're middle schoolers, so they're just kind of figuring that out. So that was my message. It was like, okay, what does it look like to take initiative? And then just, again, use stories, use experiences from a work context, and then just encourage them to say, right now is an excellent time to practice these things. Because it's going to help carry forward when you are in a position where you are leading other people and leading yourself down the road. And you could pull your current experiences, you could pull your past experiences to help your current context. And just the feeling of doing that is fun. I mean, it's so much fun just to share your story and to engage new students and help just provide just a small bit of encouragement for them throughout their day.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think that you learned from that experience? Because you're telling them about your experience and what you've learned through your journey, and they're taking it in, and some probably went over their heads because they're like, I just want to eat after this, or, you know, hang out with my friends after. But then others, like, I remember some talks really, like, spoke to me at the time, and it's like, whoa, I'm not going to change my life, but I'm going to take X, Y, and Z from this interaction, this moment, into account next time I make X decision. So being that you impacted them, however that may have transcended, what did you take away from it? What'd you learn about yourself? Because you're one of the few people that I've seen who does do a lot of self-reflection. And I think that's pretty rare nowadays. People are afraid to be with themselves and to be with their thoughts. And it's really cool and admirable, because the more you know yourself and are comfortable with yourself, the more you can help show that to others and help them be able to describe what it is they're feeling.
Yeah, no, that's good. I definitely want to get on that piece, because I slowly becoming more and more in tune with that element and trying to figure out how to articulate that. So I appreciate you saying that. What I learned from speaking with those students about myself is that, outside the fact that that's really fun, like, outside I think what I've learned to put it succinctly is that I want to do it again. Like, I think that's my path. Yeah. Prior to all that, I've been with the podcast and with just trying to figure out career journey, passions, things, you know, all the buzzwords, if you will. just really what makes me come alive. And it's just engaging with students really makes me come alive, engaging with them and being where they are and understanding what they're going through. And just, again, not saying that I'm the expert, but I would love to help you take that step further or help you see things with more clarity. Mm-hmm. Being in a position like that is fun. And it's something that I am passionate about doing because I just remember being in those shoes, wanting or wishing or admiring those who were a couple steps ahead, giving me the tips, giving me the tools, giving me like helping like clear the path so that way I can then step into that with a little more confidence and boldness in that. So for me, I reflect on, okay, how do I do that again? How do I become better at that piece? And then what can I do to just get into that space and practice that? Give me like another 5 minutes. Sorry.
Don't even worry about it. I'm going to pause it, okay? Ray, there is so much stuff obviously going on with quarantine, and everyone is, I don't want to say coping, but just dealing with it in their own way. Yeah. What are some things that you have done that have helped you? Because you were one of the first people to actually like message me on Instagram and check in with me and ask how I'm doing.
Oh man.
Through a personal message and not just like a general, I don't know, story post or whatever.
Yeah, no, I, you know, what I'm doing, is actually, I'm trying to go back to, well, I've been thinking about this season as like back to basics, you know, like back to the original, relatively speaking, original things that keep me going, keep me sane, that I've lost due to busyness, you know? And I think that's what, because I'm not out and about or often going places. I was talking to a mentor friend. He said like, we can get lost in the busyness by being just everywhere. And like, this is kind of focusing on us to like really sit with ourselves, like you stated, and kind of really figure things out. So for me, I've been jotting down the things, okay, what are the things that keep me going? And actually create like a really short list of, okay, I want to make sure I do at least a couple of these things that throughout the day to keep me going. And it's a little bit of a discipline aspect too, because I can easily sit here, you know, work on my computer, do all my work and phone calls and whatnot, and not leave this seat for a solid 4 to 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Like that could easily happen. And that's terrible. So I've been trying to say, okay, how do I break it up to say, go inside to play with my kids and my family, my wife, go for a run, read a book, do phone calls like this that is not work related, but still provides some type of like relational connectivity. And those have been aspects that I've been plotting throughout the day. I haven't gotten so strict to where I'm like, okay, from 10 to 11, I got to do this. But I've been conscious of that and just saying, okay, you know, I feel like I've been sitting for a while. It's sunny out. Let me go for a quick walk and let me practice that. And then what I hope to do is, everybody's encouraging one another to do that on social media. I just also want to contribute to that and say, yep, I'm doing it too. Fresh air and self-care. You know, I'm getting out with the family and we're walking around. And hopefully you've had the opportunity to do that yourself and not be stuck in your office or garage or on the laptop all day.
Okay. Yeah, I was listening to another podcast this morning, and some guy in China, this is today or whenever the recording was, sometime this week, was like, I'm going to just say today for the sake of the clarity of the sentence, but today was the first time this dude walked out of his house in 3 months.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm thinking that, I don't know. We here in America, we have like the worst cases so far, or the highest number. And I still see people out and about, not nearly as many, which is really reassuring.
Right.
But I'm just thinking, we still got it really good. You know, like things aren't shut down to the extreme. Yeah, things are kind of crazy, but I guess in retrospect, in addition to the things that you're doing, I'm doing similar things, but also just reminding myself to be as grateful as I can for every little win here and there. So it's been weird.
It has overall. Been weird. It has been weird. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that. Like, this is not normal.
Yeah.
And I know that there's some desire to get back to some level of normalcy, which I, you know, I think we need to have that aspiration to that. What I would hope is that we find a way to even adapt in this season as well, even when things start getting lifted or things start moving forward, because we can't compartmentalize this experience. You know, like, this experience is shaping us, hopefully for the better. And that's kind of the perspective and mindset we got to have. But as we move back into normalcy, whenever that may be, what are the elements in this time that we can take forward that would contribute to having a better, you know, experience moving down the road? So, you know, like this whole self-care aspect of, you know, how we take care of our relationships or take care of our own identity and our own souls. I would hope that I would carry a lot of this forward when I'm back into my office and a workspace and be like, all right, like, you know, I've been sitting in my desk for a while. I haven't talked to anybody. Let me go out and talk, have a good quality conversation over coffee with someone. Or, you know, I need to work from home a little bit more, you know, supplement mm-hmm. that so I can help out my wife and the kids and things and be more intentional with family, because that's important to me too. That's kind of been, I've been thinking about that too. Is like, what do I want the next step to look like once we're all done with all this, and hopefully carry a lot of the similar traits and experiences to that time?
That's something I don't think I've given much thought of so far, because it feels like everyone's still in the thick of it and we don't necessarily see the light at the end of the tunnel to be projecting that far forward. But I think it is something important to consider, because, like, I don't necessarily, my habits haven't necessarily changed a whole lot, but I don't want to go into bad habits when things go quote unquote back to normal.
Yeah.
Normalcy. So yeah. That is definitely something that I will have to take into consideration.
Yeah.
But kind of going back, to speaking in mm-hmm. general, assuming things get back to normal here in the near future, what do you kind of have planned or have any wants in regards to speaking? Like, next school, a different location, a new topic? Kind of what is your aim or goal in that direction?
Yeah, good question. I think I've been wanting to clarify the message. So clarify specifically, you know, the target audience, what exactly do I want to share, would like to share, what they would like to hear more and more pointedly. And then finding the context to engage and say, hey, here, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I can bring to the table. How can I help you? You know, do you have a classroom or a day or what have you, where I can step in and help facilitate or be a part of that and speak to your children, speak to your kids? So that is... the biggest piece is for making sure that I'm clear on what I would like to say, or what are my 2 to 3 things that I can pull upon, thematic messages or what have you, and then reach out to some folks to say, how can I come in, or how can I support you in that? In March, actually, I was super excited in March because I had like 4 different things lined up.
Damn, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, I was like, man, this is going to be fun, because I think this is totally getting to where I would like to get to. 2 at Willamette on the panel, and then 2 in 1 at a middle school at Parrish, and then a high school at McNary. Unfortunately, 2 of the 4 got canceled. And even one of them, one panel that I did at Willamette, was very, very dismal, because it was like right at the height of everybody canceling all their travel. Mm-hmm. Or right at the very beginning of that. So there was some folks there, prospective students there, and it was great. Got to share a little bit about my Willamette experience with them. It was really, really tight. So I kind of was like, I grieved a little. I was like, man, that kind of sucks. But then also I was like, okay, but how do we pivot? So how do you use this time to prepare so I can be ready when I do get a call or I do reach out and have an opportunity, whether in the fall or whatnot. So I got to reach back out to some of those contacts and just express my condolences in this time because they're also experiencing some grief as well.
Right.
But, you know, everybody has something planned and it all got canceled. So meet them where they're at in that and then say, okay, how can I help you even in this season? Because I'm sure there's something, whether virtual or whatnot, to support them. And then what does it look like to schedule something in the fall too to keep the momentum going?
Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm excited for you, honestly. Like, whenever this does clear up, to be able to know that you are progressing and speaking and going to different locations and sending your message, whatever that may be for the specific audience, I think it's a very exciting opportunity. I think speaking is an underrated skill and medium when it comes to presenting your information, whatever that may be. Like, people think, oh, anybody can be a speaker. They just go up there and they say some words and everyone claps because they're expected to. But it's like, to really convey a message with some power is difficult, and to do it well is even harder. So big kudos to you on that, because it's very, very admirable. It's hard work. I know that for sure.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, but we are getting close to wrapping up. So I'm going to ask you the four main questions that I ask every guest on my podcast for the most part. Number one being, what are you afraid of?
Oh, no. What am I afraid of? I am afraid. Oh, Isaac, I'm afraid of insignificance.
Insignificance.
Yeah, feeling insignificant. I think that's underlying a lot of what I do. And I don't want, like, I want to make sure whatever I do has substance and has meaning to it. And that's, it's a dumb fear, like a stupid, like, we all are significant in some capacity.
No, dude, it's not dumb at all.
I know. I mean, like, I have this, I'm trying to get over the limiting belief of, you know, my own doubt, worry, and significance, if you will, or insignificant feelings, getting over those things and knowing that there is a level, I am significant, I have meaning, I have purpose here. And I think it's okay to continue to search for that. Like, the more I'd look at folks who are, you know, a few stages above me or even older than me, like, they're still trying to figure it out too. So it's how we carry ourselves forward in that, how I carry myself forward in that fear, is really, truly important to kind of really think about, because I would imagine there's somebody else watching me, or, you know, tangible. I have my two kids here, you know, my both of my boys, they're watching me, and it's like, okay, like, I don't want to carry forward this fear of insignificance over to them, because I want them to continue to grow up in confidence in who they are and who they're called to be. So I think it's okay to acknowledge it, but also I'm like, okay, how do I work through it and work through it well and not look like Superman, but also look like, okay, so Dad is working through this, or Ray is working through this. It's real, but yet we can overcome it, or we can navigate through it well. So insignificance is definitely a fear.
I feel it, man. And that's a tough one, because you got to go digging and think, like, where did this root from? It could have been 15 years ago, 2 years ago, last week, this morning, when you were like, man, why'd I brush my teeth that way? Or I don't know, something dumb, you know, something completely irrelevant. But those thoughts definitely persist in a lot of people.
Mm. So
that it's legit, man. And yeah, I feel for you there. I feel for you.
Yeah.
But on a lighter note, because that question always goes in a variety of ways, but it's one that really interests me, because you get to know, I get a glimmer into the depths of a person's soul.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the way I see it. But what is also exciting, and the opposite spectrum of that soul, is who / what inspires you?
Oh, man, who inspires me? I have way too many. I have a lot of people, man. I honestly, there used to be a person. Michael Jordan inspired me. I mean, you know, like, as an athlete, drive determination. I looked to, growing up in the Jordan era was excellent. And then obviously the more athletes to come from there. But I think it's like, I think every individual, and this sounds like such a cliche answer, but every individual has some level of inspiration or some level of quality that inspires me. You know, okay. I think that you know, I'm drawn to people who are very relational, people who are, who do have a drive or do have something that they're striving towards. Mm-hmm. Like that's great to see. That's in my, that's amazing. People with curiosity, people with, those who are wanting to see the world as a better place. Those are qualities that I want to aspire to have within myself. And so watching how people do that within their own context of personality, in their platforms is admirable. So I am like, cool. I acknowledge that, praise that, and then say, okay, so how do I package that for what I'm currently doing? So that's inspirational. That's who inspires me. And then again, like my family, man, I'm a family guy. So I often just watch the growth of my family and just like, okay, like I'm doing this for them and this is fun. And I want to ensure that the name, the family name that I have and that they carry continues to be well and project well in the future. So yeah, so those are things that inspire me.
I love it. Family, like I said earlier, it's just like, number one, you always got to take care of the fam.
Yep.
Okay. So this one I stole from the How I Built This podcast by Guy Raz.
Nice.
And it's, how much of your success do you attribute to luck versus hard work?
Ooh, luck versus hard work. How do you even define luck?
You define it yourself.
Yeah. I'm just,
and there's no wrong answer. Everyone's got, yeah.
It's like, I don't think I'm, I don't know. I would say, I used to say that I was very lucky or there were some things I'm super lucky in, but I you know, I don't think I luck and coincidences are somewhat orchestrated, I would say. I think there's some orchestration happening with the what's fell in my lap or what's fallen out of my lap. Because and I think that kind of comes again from the reflection piece is like, okay, this happened for a reason, why, you know, or I'm in this position for a reason, why, and even what do I want to have come out of this situation that would continue my success? So, you know, I'd imagine that I, you know, so for podcasts, for example, when I, in high school, when I was the MC for all the assemblies and pep rallies, I did that because I saw somebody else do it and I was like, oh, that's fun. And then they graduated and there was nobody to take the mantle. And I'm like, you know, I've done announcements at church and I've done some things. I'm like, well, how hard could it be? Right. And I stepped into that with some, just bringing my personality and had a blast doing it for 4 years. And then that kind of has been the thread in which, you know, as you see now, like I'm on the microphone now using this platform to continue to speak and carry messages and other messages too. You know, was that luck in that opportunity or like presented itself to where I'm here today? You know, maybe, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it just happened to be that way and I saw an opportunity and took it. And then from there, it was as the opportunity presented, continued to present itself, I continued to work at it because I saw that this is something that I love and I can develop and get better at. And so, you know, I'll probably say 99% of it is hard work. And then that 1% is just that opportunity, whether it is by luck or coincidence or divine orchestration, and having the vision to see it and take a hold of it and actually make the most of it.
Acknowledge that, hey, this is an opportunity and I'm going to make the most of it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And then from there, just because you got the opportunity doesn't mean that you're going to be successful. You actually have to work to it. You know, just because, you know, as an athlete, just because I got, you know, got to play on the game or be on the field doesn't mean that I'm going to make the catch or get the touchdown or what have you. Like, I actually have to put in the work in practice and in the games to put myself in position. And from there, you just got to go get it. So, yeah.
Okay.
99%, 1%. I think that's...
We'll say that 1% is like a small moment of serendipity.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay, cool. And the final question, and this doesn't have to be towards anyone specific, just pretty general, but to the viewers and the listeners, what's one piece of advice that you would give them?
The one piece of advice I would give to you all is... the phrase, every experience has a significance. And so that's when I spoke at West Salem High School, that was the message that I carried with them. And through that comment was I showed, okay, how every experience I had led to where I am today. And so my advice is to take a moment and reflect on that, reflect on those things, reflect those experiences and be like, why did this happen? Why is this significant? And what am I going to do about it? And then from there, be able to shape your current prospect today to then move forward into the future. And so, yeah, just find the opportunity to review your experiences and understand what's the significance behind it. And then what are you going to do about it?
I feel like that's probably the most appropriate piece of advice you could give literally anybody right now for the time that we are in.
Yes.
And I'm so stoked that you were able to tell those students that prior to all of this, because maybe a couple weeks into it, they're at home where they would normally be at school, and who knows what their home environment is like, but then they have that time to think like, how can I make something good out of this situation?
So, and I would hope that in doing that, you don't necessarily be real, but don't be, you know, so that you can go in two extremes, right? You can go super real and be like, this sucks.
Yeah.
and this is never going to change and I'm completely in this boat. Or you can be, you know, unrealistic and be like, oh yeah, this is fine. Like, I got no problems. I got no worries. There's a balance in that, right? Like, you got to be able to, in everything, sure, acknowledge it, be sit and be present with it, but then also see how you can grow from it. Have that growth mindset in that perspective.
I think this is a cool time to press that restart button in life.
Yes.
If anybody's been making some questionable decisions or habits or what have you. But regardless, that's all I got for you today, Ray. Thank you again so much for being a guest on the show. Do you have any final words you'd like to tell
the audience? I just appreciate you, man. Appreciate you taking the opportunity to do this, to have this place to share your story and share what everything is happening, for other people to step onto the mic, man. You know, and you're making the most of this as well. So thank you for the opportunity and continuing to do this. I know you got some awesome projects coming in the future too. So I'm excited to see how your creativity continues to evolve, if you will, and continue to be in that space. But you stepping into it, this is great. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Ray. I appreciate it. I'm super stoked for some stuff that's going to be coming soon. I don't want to say what. Whenever you'll know when it comes out. Oh, man. Like, just something I've been working on for like 4 months now, but I took like a month break because that self-doubt got in the way. I was like, oh, man, this is a dumb idea. What am I doing? Lost all that motivation. And then I was like, hey, there's a positive to the coronavirus. I got all this downtime. Maybe it wasn't such a dumb idea. Let's get back into it.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I'm stoked. Other than that, this is a goodbye for the show. Thank you guys so much for watching this week's episode of the Jelly-Filled Podcast. I hope you have a great weekend, and we will see you next week.